News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
When Aoife O'Sullivan reached her 40s and still hadn't met the right guy, she became a proud solo mum by choice, and she joins us now. Good morning to Aoife. You decided to go down the sperm donor route. Tell us why.
When I was in my early 40s, I suppose it was always in my mind to have a baby. I saw myself as a mum. Life didn't happen the way I thought. I hadn't met the right guy at the time, and time was slipping on, and I was aware of it. So I Googled. I didn't know anything about sperm donation. I was totally blind about it. I didn't realise that I could do it in Cork. So I just said I had a chat with my mum and a few friends, and I just said, look, I'm going to try and see if I can go for it.
Yeah. Did you go along to that, obviously first time you went to the clinic or whatever, with kind of a, you were definitely doing this, or was it more of a scouting mission? You were checking it out, seeing what it was all about?
I suppose I rang them, number one, and got a lot of information on the phone. And then I said, look, I just want to see if I can check myself to see if I can have a child, you know, managing my expectations. Did a few blood tests. Goes from there, I sat down with one of the doctors. He laid out my options for me. It took a few months to say, yeah, I'll definitely do it.
Okay. Yeah, big decision. And so obviously use sperm donation, but you had to go the IVF road as well. Is that how it went?
You know, your egg quality and your egg count is checked. And I didn't have a lot of eggs. But other than that, you check your womb and everything and your fallopian tubes. And then they suggest a course like of IUI, which is the first step. And then they suggest a couple of courses of that, and then to do IVF if that doesn't work out.
What, were there many rounds? Did you have to?
I mean, I had two courses of IUI, and then it was on to IVF the third time.
And that worked. Can I ask you, because a lot of people listening won't know much about this, when you're picking a sperm donor, what kind of information do you base who you pick off, or what do they tell you?
There's a world of information, really. Everybody has the same information. Every donor gives the same information. And I went with the Danish bank because they only allow 3 births in Ireland before that donor is taken off.
Is it about the sperm rather than about the person? It doesn't say, oh, he's 6'3" and he works in a bank, or those. You don't get that kind of information.
Oh, you do. Yeah. Yeah. You do. You get everything. Yeah. You get his appearance now, his physicality, his height, what's his personality. It's like dating.
So you're literally, it's like online dating. You're like kind of trying to pick somebody that you're in your mind a match with. So that, I'm sure that was a lot to take on as well. And obviously then on the third round, you had your little boy, Sean Daniel. I'm sure you were thrilled. Was it hard going through the pregnancy and the labour and all of that on your own, Aoife, or how was it?
Yeah, it was. I had lots of support, lots of phone calls because of the pandemic, and friends checking in every day. My sister, my brothers. I had moved back home with my mum at that stage for 3 days to start with, like the rest of the country.
And obviously, how old is Sean Daniel now?
He's 2.5 now. Yeah.
Okay. How down the line? Because I know that the Reproductive Health Bill has been brought in here, and it's changed some of the guidelines around all of these things, including the rights of a child born through, I think it's called donor gametes. Down the line, how will you talk to him about this?
I talk about it to him already. It is recommended before they're 2. So he'll always know. He'll never find out. So in simple terms, and I have a couple of books. We have a big book called All About Families, which is really nice. And he's been reading that for a long time. Like, he's asking, I would say since last January, February, he's like, where's my dad? Because he's surrounded by, like, I have 4 brothers. three of them have children. My sister has four children.
Friends, so he gets the mammy daddy thing.
Yeah, and progression of things. Yeah.
So you're explaining where he has come from. And down the line, should he ever want to contact the donor? How will that be for you? Will you struggle with that, or are you okay with that?
I'm going to talk to him about that too. And, you know, this the new adoption law that came in where they can't be anonymous. So they're called non-anonymous donors. So he will know him, and if he chooses to meet him, that's absolutely grand too. But like, I mean, I presume it won't be a traditional relationship. So he's his biological dad, but you know, there's different ways.
Okay,
it's all the goalposts will change the way I talk about it, I suppose, in that I just say you have a donor dad, and then the way I explain it, it's in simple terms. As he gets,
and I suppose lastly, I mean, obviously, Aoife, I'm sure you're delighted, and you have a beautiful little 2.5-year-old son, and I'm sure that's, I mean. So you have your hands full, but it's a wonderful thing. Just for people listening, are there pitfalls to this? Is there anything you wish you'd have known in advance?
No, I don't think there's pitfalls. No, I don't think so. I don't regret a second of it. I think it's the best thing I've ever done, to be honest. And he's unreal. He's an amazing little boy, and he's surrounded with lots of love and family and friends. And he's a really confident little boy. And I mean, he's definitely a Velcro boy. He's a mammy's boy.
Thank you very much for speaking to us. That was Aoife O'Sullivan there.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.